This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the
Toasted Marshmallow Adventures podcast.
Tonight in the studio, we're excited about this, we have world famous comedian Nate Ford. Say hello.
Well, hello there, universe. How are you? It is world famous comic Nate Ford.
Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, we're excited about this one. We recently had on Tina Towns. I think you know her, right? Yeah. That was one that I was like, when I went back into the hospital, I was like, I don't want to reschedule all of these. She was the furthest one out. Actually, when she came, I had two drains still hanging
yes,
off of me
did.
When we did her interview.
Wow. Yeah, we're like, sorry.
So, yeah, that sucked. I had a shit ton of surgeries this past year.
It's been a rough year.
Yeah. Almost over, though.
Yeah.
So, we got Nate Ford.
We are so excited to have you here.
Yes.
By the way, that Christina one is pretty interesting, too.
Oh, did you like that one?
Her religious background.
And,
Yeah.
They blatantly said that.
Yeah.
Was that dog shit brownies?
Dog shit brownies, yeah. That thing.
I couldn't believe that.
If you want to hear a crazy religious one, listen to the one, Luis Granillo, part
one
and two.
That one is crazy.
That's him, his story about leaving the Jehovah's Witness religion.
And Chris works with him.
Yeah, I work with him at Intermountain Hospital. But yeah, that one, God, just the indoctrination that they do with you is insane. Like crazy. So we saw you at Kill Tony.
Yes.
Didn't know who you were at the time. Yeah. That's kind of a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, like I was reading when I asked to be on the podcast, whatever you asked me or something like that. You put a message on, I think, on one of the Boise comedy pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I responded, and then I looked into you guys. Oh, you guys like Kill Tony? Well,
you messaged me about that, and then you're like, I was on it. Well, I was like, wait, we were at that show. And then we had to go back and watch it again.
We did.
And everything.
I did twice.
Tony Hinchcliffe liked you. He was like complimenting you.
Super. Yeah. He was like, thank God you came.
It was a roast, and then digging into, and then just but scattered with a lot of compliments.
Oh, yeah.
Like even Doug complimented me, Doug Benson. And stuff like that. But yeah, it was neat. Like everybody, some of the Boise scene came out and signed up.
Yeah.
And,
I think there was a woman before you that was really good.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, thank God.
Oh, yeah, Stephanie Mason.
Oh, okay.
She actually booked me in a show February 16th.
Where's
in
that?
In Meridian at Whitewater Saloon.
Oh, nice.
Oh, the Whitewater. Okay, that's where Dylan works. Dylan Bronson, yeah.
Okay, there you
go. He's going to be coming. Yeah, I just know that because he was going to come on back around when my hospital stuff happened. He's like, yeah, I've got a shift at the Whitewater Saloon.
Okay.
He's like, I can come over and do the podcast before that. But yeah, he was one I had to reschedule, so I'm working on getting him back in. We've got Eric Cole set up for Saturday afternoon. Do you know Eric?
I know Eric. He's very funny.
Is he? Okay. Yeah, I've seen a little bit of his stuff that he sent on YouTube, but yeah, he's coming in. So that's going to be cool. Hype it up. Yes. Kill Tony, you had an awesome set. They liked
you.
So
had you been watching Kill Tony prior to?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so you're a fan.
For about a year or so.
Nice.
And just really got...
My favorites.
Just a great concept.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I really dug it. And just because different characters in the band.
Yeah.
Really bad comedy, and I love bad comedy.
And he just makes it flow, though.
Yeah.
And
he just makes everything... He's the orchestrator.
Yeah.
And does it very well. And I was a little disappointed that night because right before me they called out Muffin Top.
Uh-huh.
and nobody was showing up. Like, they're looking, like, is she coming from the balcony? And I kind of wanted to know what Muffin Top was all about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who's Muffin Top? And
then they pulled one more name, the one last name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nate Ford. Okay, yeah. Perfect.
Yep.
Now, were you nervous walking up there?
A little bit. Like, I knew Doug way back in the Funny Bone days here in Boise.
Okay,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Through him and come in there doing stand-up and also bringing the marijuana. Sorry, I can't talk about that, but it's a play called Marijuana Logs.
Yeah. We know what Doug Benson does.
Yeah, Doug Benson, Arch Barker, and Tony Kameen, three very talented comedians and minds coming together and putting on this one production, you know, a parody of the vagina monologues.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
And it was so great. I don't know if they still do it or not, but
that's hilarious.
Amazing.
We have to
look
that
up. Is it
on
YouTube anywhere?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah.
Oh, it
yeah,
is.
Definitely.
Okay.
We got to look that up.
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
That would be funny to watch. So do you do a lot of traveling gigs? Are you a road comedian?
I would be considered a road dog, yes.
A road dog.
For 10 years, I've been doing comedy full-time.
Oh, holy cool. crap.
And so just on the road. And the last,
that's a tough lifestyle.
Yeah, the last 6 years, I partnered up with another comic. We did little short runs, like 45 shows and 45 nights.
Dang.
First run was 30 shows and 30 nights.
Oh, wow.
One show after another.
Oh, my gosh.
Going through the entire country.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Coast to coast.
How exhausting.
Doing dive bars to theaters, everything in between, including a house party.
Really?
Oh, wow.
It was Great Falls, Montana.
How'd you get that gig?
Well, we had a night off just due to scheduling, and so I went to go get a haircut, and I was asking around, hey, is there a bar that likes to do like a last-minute thing just to keep the kind of streak alive of performing but not part of the run?
Yeah.
And she couldn't think of anything, and this customer, other customer turns around the corner, hey, I have tap at this bar. And I talk with my hand, so I'm glad you guys are filming too. but how about try this bar? Okay, thanks so much. I appreciate the information. As I was paying, same customer, would you do a house party?
Dang.
Yeah,
as long as you're paying.
we get together at least, you know, once a month, and we pick a different house, and tonight's my house, and I thought this would be something. What would you charge for it?
Wow.
Well, we'll just put a bucket out there in the show. If you guys like it, you can put money in the bucket. Cool, very cool.
Yeah.
And so we get there. And so right off the bat, Brendan O'Day was doing very well, and he has a joke with the word retarded in it, but it's not about retardism.
Yeah.
Crowd went silent. The living room went
oh,
silent.
No.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
But he quickly recovered. But we find out that they all work for Easter Seals.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
And so this is their company party.
You know? Oh, jeez.
And so that's why that moment of silence.
Right. Yeah.
Totally understand.
Yeah. And so we left, and we didn't think much of it, so we counted the bucket. $450.
Dang.
Nice.
That was more
that's
than
awesome.
The last night's gig.
Oh,
oh really?
Gosh.
Nice.
Wow, that's
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Even with that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that topic, what is your like shadiest gig you ever did where you got there and you're just like, no, this is not happening, but you still performed?
I love cheap plugs too, because this story also has a cheap plug. So March 19th through the 22nd, Liquid, I'm featuring for a very funny comic, Dave Landau.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of you may or may not know Dave Landau.
I don't.
I don't know if you remember Opie and Anthony on Sirius XM. They split up. And so Anthony started his own thing on Compound Media. And he had a podcast on their radio show, Anthony Cumia Show, with Artie Lang. And then pretty soon Dave Landau became the third mic.
Oh, dang.
Because Artie Lang was, you know, having a bit of a drug problem.
Yeah.
And eventually Artie had to drop out. He's doing great right now. But Dave Landau became the second mic of Anthony Cumia Show.
Oh, wow.
Dave Landau.
But super funny cat. Coming in March 19th. I'm featuring for him.
Awesome.
And
coming to Boise.
Coming to Boise.
Liquid Laughs.
And our first running together. We were together in Wisconsin, and then he booked me into a show in Michigan where he lives. That's his hometown mm-hmm. in Michigan near Detroit. So he booked me to this gig. It's a bowling alley / comedy club.
Oh, my goodness.
Called All Stars Comedy Club.
Okay.
Now, I'm supposed to be featuring. So the week before, a new booking agency took over booking it. And they don't recognize me as a feature act. And so can you still go and host? And it was just a chance to hang out with Dave. And,
yeah.
and I was going to stay at his place. And I go, well, fine, $50 a show. Why not? Let's do it. Now it's $25 a show, so it's gone down.
Dang.
Now it's gone
down
for the years. So we get there, and there's maybe two audience members, and so they canceled the show.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, I don't want to pay you for this night, but come back tomorrow night, and we'll have a show. And so we get back the next night, four people in the audience.
Oh, jeez.
And he goes, I don't want to do the show. And we begged him to do a show. And so we did a show in front of four people. It was a fun show. Yeah. And
how long?
We did about an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
Wow, and four people.
Just a blast.
Dave
gave him a CD for free and everything for coming, sticking around and showing up.
That's cool.
Because the guy kept him waiting for 2 hours before he actually started the show and was thinking about canceling it after they've had a few drinks there and whatnot.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
And so, then we find out that he was going to pay us half, not for that, for last night's show. So I'm going, what's half of 75?
Yeah.
Is that going to get my Greyhound home?
Yeah, right.
At the time it did, but, and so Dave goes, no, you're going to pay him the full amount. He's the host. He's getting the least amount.
Yeah.
And so he wrote us a check, a personal check each.
Oh, really?
And we got paid, and as we were leaving, he locks the door. And and there was some information on the check that was missing. And Dave goes,
no signature.
he actually paid me the money himself.
Oh, we did. Oh, that's cool.
And the next day, him and his brothers went down and had a talk with the guy.
Yeah, definitely. That's crazy. Speaking of that, tell your Ralphie May story that you told us a little bit earlier.
Well, I was living in Minneapolis at the time, which is a great town. They have a great city bus system, and
which we need here.
It's you can get anywhere actually at any time.
Wow,
you don't have to wait an hour and a half.
Yeah,
and then wait another hour to get to your location. Then you're late for work.
Right.
I lived kind of nearish the Mall of America, which is the biggest mm-hmm. mall in Minneapolis
awesome?
I think. Yeah. There's an amusement park inside.
Wow.
You can ride rides.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Eat ice cream. It's amazing. But there's this comedy club, but now it's the House of Comedy, but it used to be Knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm.
And Ralphie May was headlining, and because I was an open micer and comic at the time, you got to see shows for free. And so I went down there, and usually after the show, if I miss the second bus or whatever, the manager can give me a ride because he lives nearby me. But this time he's going the opposite direction, so now I'm wondering how I'm going to get home, and it's winter in Wisconsin or Minneapolis. And so Ralphie May kind of saw this look in my face and you need a taxi? I just missed my bus. Oh, here you go. He gives me $60.
Dang.
I'll pay you back. He goes, no, you won't. You're a comic.
He knew that.
And I didn't have nothing.
That's amazing.
There was plenty of opportunities to pay him back.
Yeah.
I never did. And now that he has died, so he's won.
Yep.
He won. He was correct.
I've heard how generous he is.
I won this bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On podcasts, I think with Bert, Bert Kreischer talks about how generous he was.
That has worked with him or seen him, that not only he was big, his heart was big too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you kind of get that feeling just watching his stand up a little bit, like he's a good person. Yeah. You know, so that's pretty cool.
And he got to be with a very hot female comic,
Lana Turner,
for a while and had two kids.
I know the name. I don't know what she looks like.
She's kind of a guitar comic, kind of dirty.
Okay.
And and hot that way, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Go, Ralphie.
Awesome. Have you ever gotten stuck anywhere? Like you could go out of state for a gig and you just somehow you got no cash and you're stuck in a city and can't get home.
Yes, it was. It was this run I did for Bonkers Comedy Club out of Florida, and at the time I didn't really have a car because I didn't really need one. I didn't really need one at the time, but I got booked in this run, and it's you start off in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, to St. Ignace, Michigan, down to Milwaukee, then back up into the UP of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's this bonkers route, and I took a Greyhound for most of it. Damn. And I lost some money on the trip.
Okay.
Like literally fell out of my pocket somewhere.
No.
And so I had to call everybody that I could think of to because otherwise I've already missed the last bus, so I'm now on the streets and
yeah, wow.
And
how old were you?
I was
last year.
No, well, yeah, I'm 40, so I was 40 at the time.
You're 40.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, just happened. Right? Yeah. Just got stuck in Elko.
No, I was in my 30s.
Oh, yeah, dang. 10 years That's ago. Rough.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be tough. So you found someone that came through for you?
Yep, Gary Cannon, who is also a very funny comic, kind of a crowd comic who has opened for Tonight Show and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
dang.
The warm-up comic.
Yeah, okay. Sweet. Tell me about your best show ever. Like, everything's clicking, you're killing.
Well, that was this last Friday.
That was your best one, okay? No,
it wasn't my best one, but it was
good.
It was nice, the best one of the weekend. I would have to say I'm also a fan of Trailer Park Boys.
Trailer Park Boys, okay.
Yeah. Canadian show, very funny.
Yeah.
Just a fan. I'm watching the new 10th season on Netflix. This was a few years ago. I get a call from a friend of mine from Appleton, Wisconsin. I was living in Milwaukee at the time. And he goes, hey, are you still doing comedy? I go, yeah, we need an opener up here in Green Bay. Randy and Mr. Leahy are performing here because all the characters have been doing like a live shows around the Canada and the United States and New York. And so you're fucking with me. So I hang up the phone and he calls back. No, I'm serious. Do you want to open? Sure. So yeah. I got to open for Randy, Mr. Leahy, the Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, nice.
Just a fan. And so I get there and this venue seats about 2,000 people. Now, usually with crowds like this, they're there to see the big event.
Yeah.
And so you're just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, do your time, get off stage. Yeah.
And so I get up on stage in front of 2,000 people. First joke, laughter. And now in a room like that, the laughter goes to the back, then right back forward and hits you in the face.
Oh, does it?
And just my timing was off because there was too much,
really
excitement. Like they were comedy fans, like a room of just people who like comedy, who like to have fun.
Yeah.
And just, man, just I got off stage after I introduced them. And as I was heading towards the back to where we were, people were like, hey, man, can I buy you a shot? Can I get a picture with you? Can I get a selfie with you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't know how to like react to that. Like, do I like, oh, I don't have time. I'm, you know, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I decided to just do it. And so by the halfway there, I was drunk because people just buying me shots. It was like a rock star moment of just,
that's awesome.
It was a stupid, fun show.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, those rock star moments. You can't beat those ever. Now, on the same note, tell us about your worst bomb ever.
That would actually, the worst bomb ever was my first time on stage.
First time, okay. Yeah. And that was how many years ago?
That was in 1999.
Dang. 99.
At the Funny Bone.
The Funny Bone in Boise.
Yep. There was one open mic once a month. That was it in the wow. city of Boise. There were maybe 10 comics at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine I did theater with, high school and outside of high school, said, "Hey, you're funny. You should try the open mic." I go, "Yeah, I'm funny. I got this. Yeah, mm-hmm. you know." And so I got together what I thought was 5 minutes of gold material, you know, of course, because, you know, my friend hyped me up. I can do this.
Yeah.
I invited all my friends, all my family, my coworkers at the time, my boss.
Oh, God.
And I go up there and I'm spewing out this 5 minutes of gold, and it was just 2 minutes of just shit. It was it was just pure imaginable darkness out of an anus, and then just eating it back up, and then just this rotation. I'm sweating bullets. Like, I'm literally geez. Just
and
like,
you got everyone like there watching. Yeah.
yeah, like where am I? Like the room's getting smaller. Am I having my first panic attack?
Yeah,
at 20. All right, let's make this happen.
Yeah,
and so, but in the back of my head, after that horrible experience, in the back of my head, this thought, this little voice, how can you make this better?
Yeah.
And that, oh, I'm hooked.
Yeah, so you got hooked after the first time, even though you bombed in front of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's why some people, you know, do very well their very first time.
Yeah.
But then they're spending most of the time chasing that first time.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas I don't want to chase that
first time. Yeah, somewhere to go from there.
Yeah, exactly. And and some people do bomb their first time.
Yeah.
It happens. And they just either keep at it or just keep at open mics and nothing far as that and whatnot. So
for your first open mic, you had prepared material. Do you find that new guys coming up in the open mics, do any of them get up there without anything prepared?
There's a few people who just think, I can wing it.
Yeah.
I ain't got jokes, I got problems, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I got stories in my family. They get up there and like, okay, where's this going?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no structure.
Yeah.
You know?
And definitely.
Yeah. But I think a lot of comics nowadays, you know, they get the idea of comedy like by watching comedy on either YouTube or documentaries.
Yeah.
And so they see other comics write stuff down and then prepare it. And
yeah.
And so I think, you know, like how you're learning, you know, podcasting through whatever YouTube and whatnot, or learning this through YouTube. It's the way of the world now.
Yeah, exactly. You learn so much.
Which is nice, because I didn't have that. It was just trial and error.
Yeah. So did you get a lot of advice from kind of... Because you've been doing this for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
What's the... and I'm sure you've seen some big names, you know, at shows and stuff. Is there a piece of advice that someone's given you, a comic that has stuck with you or has helped you in your career?
Well, yeah, definitely. Nicholas Anthony, very funny comic from L.A. He runs the Blind Barber comedy show there, which they just had Dave Chappelle on it. Yeah. But the advice that he gave me, he also did magic for a long time, and then got into kind of magic and comedy influence. Now he's just straight comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Also writes for a TV show called The Inspectors on CBS. It was a long-lived show.
Oh.
I think it's maybe it's still on, but it's about the mail service, like a CSI, but the mail.
But for the mail, okay. Oh.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
But the advice that he has given me that I still today still. Take for granted, which from your question earlier, never be defined by one moment.
Nice. Okay.
So if you have a bad show, that's not gonna be your only bad show. It's not gonna, and you may not have a bad show ever again. You just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a good show,
they're not
all gonna be great.
Right. Yeah. Don't puff yourself up.
That's true.
Awesome. Those are words to live by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much in life. Yeah. It's good advice.
Like, stay humble.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Now tell us. Now we're
get
gonna...
your money up front, too.
That's get your money up front. Okay. Yeah. You hear about some shady gigs, like listening to comedy podcasts, talking about the early days.
Rough.
With comedians. Yeah. Just,
yeah.
It seems like
I've experienced charter talent gigs, which some comics know of. There's also the triple runs here in this area that comics will speak of getting their, like, Doug Stanhope, that's coming here in March. He started with triple runs too. Like, he, you know, it's where you get your scars and your wounds and your
okay.
But these charter talent gigs, this guy was so shady. He was also a comic too, but went by a different name to run this company. And so he would book comics according to telling the venue, we're booking this comic, which he'd never booked that comic. And then, like, a week, hey, his dad died, so I'm going to be filling in.
Oh,
really?
That sort of thing. Shady. But he got the money up front, which is more than what he would be making.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It got to a point where Detroit News went after him, like the investigative reporting.
Yeah.
Like, asking him questions, like, what's going on here? Because what happened was a comic pretended to be a business and sent him an email. Hey, we love this comic, him, so much. We saw him at a certain comedy club. We want him for our holiday party. So we're willing to pay $3,500. For this kid, hotel rooms, whatever he wants, we'll get it for him because we like him and we want him for the party.
Yeah.
So the booker turns around and emails the comic, him, hey, I got a gig for you for $500, no hotel room.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's
crazy.
And so
crazy. That's when he sent it to the news. And
holy moly. Yeah. Wow.
Jeez.
That's the thing. Everybody wants their cut
in this
business.
Yeah.
That's a huge cut.
The club wants their cut. The comic wants their cut. And the booker wants their cut.
Mm-hmm.
The person that gets the short end of the deal at all times is the entertainment.
Yeah. That's what we've been learning.
Unless, you know, you have a few TV credits or if you're Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Whatever you
Seinfeld,
want.
Yeah. Right. So let's talk about next. I guess this all goes together. Big names you've met, and also your kind of your biggest gig you've ever done, for like the biggest name, featuring or opening.
I've opened for Billy Gardell, from Mike and Molly.
Oh, dang! I loved him
on
Mike and Molly.
It's another TV show, that kind of looks like Mike and Molly, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I've opened for the weird ones like Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Have you watched his podcast? It is hilarious. I didn't even know he had one.
I kind of... It's not a grudge because I don't like to hold grudges in this business because you just never know what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been just an off week for him. Who knows?
Oh, but it didn't go well.
Let's hear about Pauly Shore.
So...
Is he a dingbat?
When I moved to Wisconsin, I lived in Sheboygan for a bit, and then got out of my I have an aunt on my dad's side that lives there, so I didn't want to stay with her for that long, so I went to Milwaukee, and then there was a problem with the apartment, so we were almost getting kicked out, and I got a call from a friend of mine who used to work at this comedy club in Appleton, Wisconsin, called Skyline Comedy Club,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty nice comedy club in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fired, so he opened up his own comedy club called the Comedy Quarter in Neenah, which is 10 miles away from the other club. But he goes, hey, I'm opening up this club. Would you mind hosting the first 2 weeks? Sure, that's awesome. And the second week was Pauly Shore.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I got my first spot at the Chicago Improv.
Oh, dang.
Can you tell us what year this is?
Ish.
2008, okay. 2007,
okay.
8, 9.
Sorry to interrupt.
No. I'm thinking back when that was. It was before my car accident. I know that for sure. And that was 8 years ago. So, yeah. Yeah,
that I've heard about also.
Yeah. And so So I got into the Chicago Improv just by doing one of their auditions, and we were kind of we weaseled our way in because we were in town at the time. And hey, is there a way we could do this? We're just out of town. We're just traveling through. All right, you guys get 2 minutes. All right. So this is the improv. You do your best 2 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And so there were 9 comics doing 10 minutes apiece. And then the host brings up my friend. He does very well in 2 minutes. And he brings me up. This is right before the person who's going to close out the show. And I go up there. Something happened. I just clicked. The 2 minutes was just insane.
Nice.
Like probably my best 2 minutes compared to my first 5 minutes. Yeah. 2 minutes of first time. And the owner of the improv said, pulls us into his office because we're not supposed to film at the improv because they didn't want the comics to have the improv name. Mm. Even if they don't do well, they don't want you to promote it. Like, we work here. No, you don't. So my friend had his camera out, so I thought they were pulling us in the office because they talked about the camera. Fine. And then the owner goes, listen, you guys show me more in 2 minutes than those guys did in 10 minutes.
Dang.
Here's my email. Send me an email. I emailed him first before my friend even did. He went back to Arkansas. Yeah. And I got my first two. I got my first hosting gig with Pauly Shore.
Oh,
the
following
week from the Comedy Quarter gig.
Wow.
So in my naive head, I'll work with him there, work with him there. Mm-hmm. We'll be friends. I'll go on the road.
You pictured the whole
best
thing.
Best buddies. Yeah.
And so I get to Comedy Quarter, and, you know, after the first night, he goes, you were too dirty. Clean it up.
Really?
Second night, I was squeaky clean. My mom loved it. And then he cut my time.
Oh, no.
Oh,
wow.
And then the next night, cut my time even more. And it's like, okay, whatever. And he's, I'm not the boss here, you know?
Yeah.
He's the one that's filling the seats. I get it. Yeah. Of course, I was a little angry, but it's like, what? I just don't understand. So the following Monday, I get a call from Tony, the owner of Improv, said, hey, did you work with Pauly Shore last week? Mm-hmm. I go, yeah. He said you were too dirty. I go, no more than he was, you know?
Yeah.
And there was a pause, and Tony goes, oh, he got laughs.
Oh, dang.
Or he goes, you got laughs.
Oh, there you go.
So there's pause, and you got laughs. I didn't say that. you know? Like,
yeah.
And so, well, here's the deal. You're not working with him next week.
Dang.
So I was cut from that week, but I'm going to give you Tony Rock, Chris Rock's brother, and Billy Gardell.
Whoa.
Okay. So you were too funny?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
That's what he was implying.
Okay. Wow.
You know, whatever, you know.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, in a sense, it's a good compliment as well, too.
Yeah. That says a lot about Pauly.
Yeah, because he seems like a...
like totally relaxed.
Well, if you watch him on the most recent Kill Tony was on, he seemed like he actually like was trying to help the comedians and stuff too. Yeah.
And now this was a long time ago, so like I said, I don't know what was happening in his life at the time. A lot has happened in his life.
Yeah.
Being babysitted by Sam Kinison is no...
right. Yeah, right.
Treat on the
that
old
can
noggin.
Change a guy.
Yeah, right.
But so, you know, and like everybody has their version of what story they have with certain celebrity or whatever.
That's true.
Like, people say that Dustin Diamond, Screech is a dick. And I've met him and hung out with him and...
Perfect totally nice
dude,
guy.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yes, he stabs a few people in bars.
Just a little.
Who has it?
A little stabbing.
You have not stabbed a person in a Wisconsin
you haven't
bar.
Lived.
Throw the first stone.
Now, was that with your Pauly Shore? Was that your biggest gig you've ever done?
No, I think the biggest gig really is the so far the is. Working with Randy and Mr. Leahy in Green Bay. I think that was...
Oh, okay.
Now, the biggest gig had nothing to do with comedy. It was in a ballet.
Oh,
that's
yes.
right. You've One of done... our Facebook friends is friends with you. James Fisk?
Yeah.
And we figured you'd acted together or something.
Yeah. I think we crossed paths.
Oh, there, okay.
So. Yeah, he's been on the podcast too.
Yeah.
Him and his wife.
Yeah.
Tina.
Well, I did community theater, so long story short, my mom is still next door neighbors with the artistic director for the Idaho Ballet Company.
Oh, okay.
And so they were in the yard one day, both of them, and Lisa goes, I'm looking for like a short, fat, funny guy for a character piece. And my mom goes, I can make a phone call.
Yay, Mom!
Right.
And so two phone calls later and one audition, I got the part of Sandro Panza. This is in 2000, near September 11th, that time frame. And so I got the part of Sancho Panza for Don Quixote for the Idaho Ballet Company and Eugene Ballet Company.
Oh, wow.
So I got to perform at the Morrison Center and the Holt Theater in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
I didn't really do dance moves per se. I just, I was just there for comic relief, but I was on stage a lot.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of silly stuff and some acrobatic things.
Really?
The ballerina and ballerina men held up a sheet, and I was in the middle of it, and they were throwing me up in the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was exciting. And
yeah.
Sorry for them.
Yeah.
But, both the papers, the Idaho Statesman and the paper in Eugene, had mad reviews about me.
Really?
Awesome.
It was awkward. I felt good, but also, I was eating a whole pizza the night before. They got up at 6 a.m., working their asses off, eating a lettuce leaf.
To stay in shape for the ballet.
Yeah. And, they put all the work in there. I just came in there did my thing.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was a hired gun.
That's cool. That's funny. Awesome. Okay. So, I notice on your videos and stuff on Instagram and YouTube, you refer to yourself as the world famous Nate Ford. So, have you performed all over the world?
Not stand-up yet. No, someday I will. I have performed at the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, cool.
What is it?
The Fringe Festival in Edinburgh.
I haven't heard of that.
It's like a big...
Ari talks about it.
It's just a big, live theater experience from all walks of life. There's street performers. There's plays. There's comedy shows.
It's like a festival.
Yeah.
Is it a weekend long or...?
It's like a week long.
Wow.
So...
And... Thousands, or is it hundreds of thousands
of
people?
Thousands,
it's a massive thing.
It's insane.
That's so cool. How'd you get that?
I was 18 at the time.
How'd you get in on that?
My Boise High Drama Department got nominated to go.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so we took the play Tumbleweeds, based off the comic book. I was Trooper Dimbleby. And we got nominated to go. We raised a bunch of money. We put coupons up at Albertsons. We just... bunch of stuff, raised the money, and we went.
Wow.
And we stopped off for a week or a few days in London, saw Miss Saigon at the London Theater, and just did a bunch of other
at 18
touring.
Wow.
Had my first blackout in Scotland.
Nice. Good place
first
for
blackout.
It
blackout. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there were, I don't remember,
I think it happened.
I mean, I remember the beginning part in and
the next
waking
day.
Up.
Yeah.
Jeez. There's this little Irish, there's Scotland pub, right by the dorms. And
so what are you going to do? You got to.
Yeah, we
got
to. Yeah.
When in Scotland.
I can drink now. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
We're having a few drinks, and a few drinks led to more, and a few more drinks, whatever, and hanging out with the locals.
Wow. Yeah.
And at 18, you don't know how to drink yet.
Yeah. And so now getting back into the dorms, you have to go through a checkpoint, a security guard, just to make sure that you're in-house and so they can keep records because you're still, 18 students of this high school.
Yeah.
And so I just woke up in the dorm room I was staying in. Don't remember getting back. I hope that
Holy
was it magic?
Crap.
Was I,
yeah.
Nobody pieced it together for you?
Yes, the other kids did. Yeah. Nice. He goes, no, yeah, you were great. You were probably more alert than we were.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, Blackout Nate.
Now, you said you've been doing comedy for 20 years. Do you ever have a, like, is it ever cross your mind to ever give it up? Or is it just ingrained in you and this is who you are?
It's just who I am. Like, I work to help pay, like, the car and everything like that. I work overnights at a stinker gas station up a Vista in Overland. So the graveyard Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Actually used to be one of my stores when I worked for Frito-Lay. Okay. I used to deliver to that one.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's... whatever, it's what you gotta do nowadays with comedy, especially when pay has gone down so much.
Yeah.
Unless if you're, like I said, you're figuring out the top of the funnel. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Or the bottom of the funnel, however the way the funnel works.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think of every day to quit that job.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Like, how do I get my bills to pay themselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
How do I find a sugar mama out there to, yeah, to relieve all my problems? And I can just, you know, hey, just, look at this.
Well, yeah, it's travel and do gigs and she can pay dream the bills.
Life, yeah, right.
Like, the other fantasy I have is just getting an RV and sitting up wherever. And
that's our fantasy.
Yeah.
Yep, we plan to go nomadic kind of at some point, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, still be comfortable.
Yeah. You know? We're not going to suffer.
No, we're not. But yeah, we do a lot of traveling. So, you know, we travel for comedy shows. We travel to ski and snowboard. Yeah. And, you know, we'll just take a little house with us.
That's what we want to do.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. Oh. This is a question from a Wendy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Have you been following the Ari Shaffir stuff?
Yes.
And what is your take?
On what he said about
like,
Kobe.
Are you first off, are you a fan of Ari prior to?
I can give him a take him, you know.
So 50-50.
He's done some funny, like, his amazing racist stuff.
Yeah.
That episodes of
Did you
that.
See him in Boise?
No.
Oh, okay.
Good to see him.
I loved that. And then we saw him in Salt Lake, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, we've seen him twice.
And here's the thing.
I follow him on. Do you listen to Skeptic Tank and?
Not really. No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I should though. But well, I listen to so many other things.
I know.
Doug Stanhope's podcast. I listen to.
Yeah.
I listen to Joe Rogan every once in a while. Yeah. Depending on who
if
the
you
guest
have 3 hours.
Yeah. if I have the time and what's his name?
Oh.
Name escapes me. Crap.
It's not the movies with Doug Benson. What's that one?
He's kind of a Hispanic, bigger dude,
fluffy,
older. Mm. Has a Church of High or
wasn't Steve Trevino?
No,
Paul Rodriguez. No.
He's very crass and
not sure.
I can't think of his name.
Dang.
Why? Anyways, he's got a podcast I listen to.
Yeah.
That's nice. All right. What's your take on Ari's?
What he said about Kobe.
Yeah.
Well, like, he made a Instagram post or a Twitter post.
Yeah.
And I think his PR people probably told
Took
him to
it
do
down.
It. And
the kind
of apology.
Yeah.
And
that was on Instagram, right?
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's right. Every time somebody dies, he makes a nasty comment.
He does.
He's done some really weird things.
Yeah. He dosed Bert. Recently.
It's like when people are like, oh, Trump said something stupid. Yes, we get it.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
That happens. Yeah. It's been happening.
It's Ari, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so
now,
that's your take.
Now, nobody wants, you know, children to die. Nobody wants other people to die. But I see all these comics who are people, and also some of them are comics, are shaming Ari for saying that, are making coronavirus
jokes.
Yeah,
what's his name? Brian Callen actually texted him and got into it with him. That's what he said on Fighter and the Kid.
And it's like, yeah, at the time, he just knew Kobe died, and he didn't like the Lakers, and it was kind of funny in a way.
Yeah.
But not my, like, it's not my cup of tea. Like, whatever, that's his thing.
Yeah.
And he has an audience for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I hadn't really thought of it that way until I listened to Mark Norman, and he said, Ari was doing what Ari does.
Yeah.
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 Well, the club he was going to be performing at in, I think, New York.
Or threats.
They canceled him.
Yeah. Well, no, his agency dropped him today.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the club said they weren't doing business with him anymore.
That's just the thing. They have to.
Nowadays, they have to.
Yeah.
Cancel culture. Yeah.
Do you think he'll have a hard time getting another agency?
Because
you can't work.
I mean, Louis C.K. went back to work, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same capacity as he was, but he's still working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering if Rogan was going to talk about it. You know that I kind of think he's going to stay out of it.
He might, yeah, just
I mean,
keep his nose
friends,
clean.
But, yeah,
but I mean, I get what he was doing,
and kind of the why
he may not be grieving in that way because people like to grieve with joking,
yeah.
But that's his right to do that,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. As distasteful as it is,
yeah.
It's like going back to like when Married with Children was first on the air, and that mom was suing the television station for airing this crap in front of her children.
Wow,
don't really? You have a
channel changer
like that.
Off? Yeah,
are you forcing your kids to watch it?
Right.
Look at this evil.
Right. No, their goal is to get that show canceled.
Yeah.
Seems like.
And it's like, why go after that? There's other things out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially today. There's a lot of things out there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like how Mark Norman was talking about Chris Brown. Like, he beats somebody, and, like, we forget about it.
Yeah.
The music is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we easily forget what happens, with football stars.
Yes.
You know, Peyton Manning destroyed a woman's life. Oh, we don't talk about that anymore.
Right.
Oh. He's a superhero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And so it's like, why do we go after certain people for this?
Yeah.
For speech, but not action.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Like, are we going back to the sticks and stones may break my bones, but
words
will never hurt me?
Right.
Or is it now words are hurting us?
Yeah. Yeah.
And sticks
yeah.
and stones won't hurt us.
Right.
Jeez.
It's a weird little
It is.
Thing. It's like,
because I don't actually agree with what Ari did, but I mean, yeah, it's just words.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it, but I'm not Ari. And he's done it in the past.
But then people say, well, if you agree, if you're okay with it, then you're part of the problem too.
Yeah.
No, I'm just, I can
people
easily
can say
ignore
things.
What I want to ignore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if to like someone, you don't have to like every single aspect about them.
Yeah.
You know, or agree with everything they agree with.
Yeah.
You know.
But it sounds like he's a good guy.
Ari.
Yeah. Everybody talks about how
people,
generous
yeah, they say
he is.
That. Yeah.
Nice guy.
Or he'll give you drugs and your drinks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what you think is a nice guy.
He's been a little questionable lately.
Yeah.
His behaviors.
He does crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Like I said,
like if you're going to be his friend.
His amazing racist stuff was brilliant.
I never saw that. I have to. It's been talked about a lot lately.
YouTube. I don't know. It could be on somewhere.
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like at a Ku Klux Klan outfit with a gas, like a gas tank and like asking African Americans were lighters.
Oh no!
Oh jeez, that sounds like him.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But it was called the Amazing Races.
It's so distasteful. It's
that's what's funny.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah,
it's over the top. It's not, and you know it's over the top.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Jeez.
And I think maybe that's what he missed on this Kobe joke.
Yeah.
Was it wasn't over the top.
Yeah,
it was
kind of
like,
too real.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of emotions are hit.
Yeah.
You know?
I was surprised that Boise had the lights up for Kobe.
Oh, yeah, the Kobe lights.
Yeah.
Gold and purple and gold.
Yeah. I was really surprised.
Yeah, they lit up downtown with that. That's crazy.
Yeah. But so. I'm sad for his daughter.
Oh,
and the rest
gosh,
of the,
I know.
The people on the helicopter, the pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The family.
Terrific.
There was also a plane that went down with military on it. Same week.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we don't talk about
that. Yeah, no, you hear about
hadn't
Kobe.
Heard. Wow.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know about the military.
There's things
plane.
Like that. Like, so where I'm okay with people make a joke about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to find some humor and stuff.
Yeah.
Or else life just sucks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, now, follow-up question to that. Have you ever had any negative backlash from any of your jokes?
I do have a joke that has kind of Down syndrome in it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. That's just a little bit of.
And so I get people coming up after the show. You were really funny.
Except
for that one joke.
Oh, man. Oh,
it's just too much so for them.
It's because it's not even them that's going through it. They know somebody that's going through it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Until one day I was in Leroy, Illinois, this small little town.
Leroy.
Rockin' good town. weird small audiences every time, but the owner of the place has to keep things going there, like bands, just to keep it happening.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you lose money or doesn't. At least there's something happening. People know that's a spot to go to.
Yeah.
And so I think he's lost money on us quite a bit, but he keeps having us back. And so I do this joke on this one particular show, and this couple comes up to me. You are really funny, except, I go, okay, here it comes. We really want to thank you for that Down syndrome joke.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really?
We have a kid. Who has mental disabilities. He's got a bit of the downs. they didn't say that. Yeah. But like we've been working our tails off and just we don't know how to laugh anymore. We don't have the pressure to be put off us. Mm-hmm. And we just decided tonight to come out because there's never comedy that comes to Leroy and we want to thank you. And
oh, wow.
She almost was in tears.
Wow.
Wow. That means
because
a lot.
Because of that joke. Okay, yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
That's so awesome. Cool.
So sometimes it helps because, again, people are offended a lot of times because they know somebody.
Yeah.
But they don't know how that person actually feels about the situation.
Yeah, like offended for somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And it's like, why don't you come up with your own feelings about it? Now, if that really offends you, then fine. But don't say, well, I have a friend that has this.
Yeah.
No, you don't get to speak for them.
I'm offended on their behalf.
Yeah. I mean, the best cancer jokes come from cancer patients.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's just, about finding the humor and everything. Because, I think, you can tell a Down syndrome joke. You can tell, a joke about race or something, and it can be funny, there's also distasteful ones that aren't as funny, but I just don't think those are as good of comedians,
I got called out by a comedian for being racist.
Oh, really?
Now, this joke is actually a very true story.
Okay.
I got to be part of an all-black comedy tour.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a real thing that actually happened?
That actually happened.
Okay.
They were called I'm a Bad Man Comedy Tour.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they're called the Bad Man Comedy Tour is because they've been arrested at least once or twice in their lifetime.
Okay.
They heard about me. They sent me a message on Facebook. Hey, Nate, we heard about you. You're funny. We need a token white guy to help us out. We're performing in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Uh-huh. So we need you to kind of guide us through.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'm your man. Let's do this,
Nice.
And so I'm in between gigs. I was actually in Lawton, Michigan, then heading back way through Wisconsin into Fond du Lac. And I'm about a few hours away. I run out of gas. And so I thought I'd make the next exit, but did not. So I grabbed the gas can, walked to the gas station, walked back. And there were two cop cars behind my car. And so I put this in the joke. Here's a little lesson to everybody in there. There's one cop car. They're there to help.
Yeah.
There's two.
Yeah.
Not so much.
You're
in trouble. So
right.
Yeah. I had a warrant for my arrest.
Oh, you did?
Dang.
I thought I took care of some tickets back in 2007, but it wasn't. It was like a speeding ticket and a taillight ticket.
Yeah.
In fact, the cop that was arresting me was the one that gave me the taillight ticket
back
in the day. And I was on my way to Giggles Comedy Pub at the time. Because he goes, aren't you a comic? Like, holy crap, you got a good memory.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I gave you this taillight ticket.
Jeez.
So now there's a warrant, and now he's, I got to do this.
Oh, jeez.
And so in the joke, I go, he threw me in a cell with another dude, and I go, what you in for? Murder, motherfucker, what you in for? ticket, bitches. But what actually happened, I was in the holding area for the time being before I even got put fingerprints and everything like that. He goes, just if you have anybody to bail you out, you can do it right now. And so he let me have my phone, and I called a friend of mine, and he bailed me out.
Nice.
My car was impounded, and I had a backpack in that car, and it had like all my notebooks and a laptop and a few other things that cops shouldn't find.
Yeah.
And so we went to the impound, and I asked, "Hey, is there any way I can get the backpack out of my car? I'm a comic. I got some notebooks in there. We're on our way to Fond du Lac right now." He goes, "You're a comic? Well, if you can make me laugh, I'll give you 5 minutes."
Oh, really?
And I go, "All right." I told him a joke. He laughed. I went in, got it. And my friend drove me.
That's awesome.
Drove me to Fond du Lac.
Yeah.
Nice. And I was the only comic on time.
Really? Wow. And you got arrested.
Yeah. Now, that is a reference to black time. Because black people are always late. That's a joke. But it's a true story. That's the thing.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Because like, it was all black comedy tour. Yeah.
And so, but I didn't add all that extra details into the joke. But so at the end of the joke, I'm the only comic on time. So hopefully the people followed that. Like, oh my God. But some be like, oh, you racist.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, just like if you mentioned color or even mention a race,
yeah,
you're racist at that point. So make a joke about it. I don't care if people joke about white people or
you know, the N-word and Lakers. Like, they're similar, right?
What was that?
There was a lady, news lady who
Knicks.
Got fired or something.
God. Did she get fired?
Yeah.
I've heard it like four times today.
Oh, yeah. That was on this year. Speaking of this, I do have this queued up to our little shindig on there. I think I have it up loud enough. Yeah. Let's take a listen, podcast listeners.
I got to be more memorable.
No, I was just probably thinking about myself.
Sure.
There we are.
A couple of whites right here.
Couple of whites.
Rickles? Who's that?
No, I think that's Segura. Who does that look like?
Alan Arkin.
Who's that guy at the
Jimmy
store?
Schubert?
Oh, yeah, Schubert. Oh, yeah, that's the guy.
Who's that guy at the store? Opens it up? Alan Arkin? No, what's that guy's name?
Oh, yeah, Argus.
Argus.
Thanks,
Argus.
Guys.
Yeah. Brian, good on him.
Named after, obviously, a couple of slaves, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. Good play.
What's up, Theo?
Gang.
What's up, guys? Mark,
we're a couple of Tuesdays.
All right.
I know about your best night.
And your worst night.
Performing comedy.
I got that for you.
Thank you.
That was so awesome to wake up to.
Oh, yeah, this morning. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You want to start?
All right. We're not going to watch their responses because it goes on for like 15
They roasted
minutes.
You and you had your question in there.
Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah, we were like so excited about
like,
that this morning.
That's so cool.
We're like, okay, we got to screenshot this, do an Instagram post, do a Facebook post.
So excited.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool for us.
Yeah. First time.
Yeah, first time we did it and got on, so that's cool.
Well, you got to take opportunities like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, what the heck?
Definitely.
How do you get on that show? He sent in a tape.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think?
Yeah.
Don't get upset about it.
Yeah, no, right.
Go at it.
Hey.
Yeah.
There was a meme that was like a picture meme of going around. Do you think crackheads will give up if they can't get crack?
Give up doing crack?
Yeah. You think they're like, oh, I don't have the money?
No.
No, they'll find a way,
right?
Yeah. They'll find a way.
If they can do it.
Are you going to crackhead out hustle you?
Right. No.
Jeez. No.
No, I'm not going to let him do that.
No. That's kind of huge.
No. Sheesh. Let's talk about plug your dates. Where are you at next? Like, what's coming up?
There's a local comic, Crystal Moore, very funny cat. She has landed the last Tuesday of every month at Liquid.
Oh, nice.
And it's going to be a kind of a different themed. They had she's also doing a show tomorrow or on Saturday night at Empire Brewing called The Weird, and so she has a bunch of weird people on the list, so it's like that's her theme. Yeah. I'm gonna be doing February 25th Mardi Gras show, and then the Christmas show
coming
up in December.
And there. This is where? What's the name of the place?
Liquid.
At Liquid.
Oh, it's at Liquid. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's going to be at Liquid.
Nice.
And then November 19th to the 22nd, I am at Liquid with Dave Landau. That is just going to be an insane, off-the-chart show.
Nice.
Did you say November?
Yep.
Oh, awesome.
Sweet. The week before Thanksgiving.
Oh, weekend. Perfect.
Nice.
So. That's perfect.
We just bought tickets the other night to see Mark Normand in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Nice.
In August. Yeah.
I'm shocked at the price of the tickets.
Only $15 for the tickets.
$15.
Yeah. When I was going to live in Milwaukee, you can either sign up and get like free tickets for sometimes, cheap tickets here and there. So I got to see Tim Allen.
Right.
Ron White.
Oh, Ron cool. White.
Got to see Don Rickles before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
Which I recommend anybody, like, find somebody that, you know, is about to die. And
really? It's pretty amazing.
I think that's how I'm going to go out. Because that night of the performance, he just had surgery on his legs. Kind of a virus was eating at his legs or something like that. But he still made it to the show. I mean, he was sitting down most of the time, but... That's how I want to be. I'm going to die on stage. That's where it's going to happen.
What's your, do you have a future plan? Like, where do you see your career going, like, in the next couple years?
I took a little setback coming back to my hometown, but I want to get back on the road and just continue to work on my craft.
Yeah.
I do want to visit LA every once in a while. I don't want to live there, but I want to, since I'm now closer. Just kind of see what I can get my foot in the doors there, eventually I do kind of want to get into the movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be nice. That'd be awesome.
Go back to my acting roots. And,
yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah, cool.
So
sweet. Now, do you?
If there's any like local like.
What?
Like TV show or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
get Nate Ford on there.
Yeah, I'm a. Yeah. Sell things.
He sells things. Yeah.
My friend Kim Rose just started a YouTube.
Who?
Kim Rose was on talking about her YouTube show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a thing. Could start a YouTube show.
Hmm.
Have you seen Pauly Shore's, the YouTube?
His podcast.
Yeah.
I saw a couple.
It's crazy. Yeah. In his house where he just has cameras just, like, everywhere.
Dance. Yeah. That's so funny. He tells guests to go like stand in the kitchen.
Yeah, and he just does crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's
funny to watch.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get the same thing.
No, just I listened to it at first and did not understand.
Yeah.
there's a guy named Brian Jordan Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
He married Jack on Will and Grace this
oh, okay.
last this season. He's such creative, super funny. The Secret Life of Caleb, which is on YouTube.
He's in it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's in it, stars in it, I think he directs some of it, writes it. But there's other things that he does, and there's a character, Freckles. This whole thing is just, it's an amazing, just...
Hilarious.
There's a lot of gay people, if you're into that.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. It's perfect.
Oh,
it's
nice. We got to check that out.
Perfect timing.
Really?
It's not like it should be on TV. It should be like a Netflix.
Exactly.
Mm. Like that writing.
Oh, wow.
I feel like people that can't get it through Netflix are just going to YouTube being like, what the heck? Let's do it.
Yeah. It's kind of awesome. Seems like it's going that way.
Yeah. I think Netflix is like holding the horses on spending money.
Yeah.
Especially after all these comedy
specials. I know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because they're throwing money left and right.
And Mark Norman said he just filmed his, like last night or the night before. That surprised me.
Can't get anyone to buy it.
Yeah.
No.
Who's this?
Mark Norman said he did. Yeah. That shocked me. Like, how do you not get a special?
Yeah.
Just, you think they've spent all their money?
They put their budget on Seinfeld and Dave Chappelle.
Seinfeld, has he come here already?
He has, I think.
Yeah, I think he just did. I want to go, but
like,
Oh,
yeah. A, I didn't want to pay that.
The Morrison
price.
Center, yeah.
Yeah. Would have been awesome.
Yeah. I don't know about going to comedy at the Morrison Center. Have you seen a comedy show there?
No, but I've seen, like, in Minneapolis and Milwaukee shows and theaters. And
Does it work?
You can hear, like, in a way it does, but there's not that intimacy that mm-hmm. you have at a comedy club.
Yeah.
And, like, you're so far away from them.
Yeah.
And so you kind of focus on that more than the actual jokes. Mm-hmm. But like, Tim Allen was on a roll, and I forgot that I was in a theater.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. Nice, that's cool.
Whether if you don't believe in his political views or not, he's still funny.
Yeah.
He's
a
funny
comic.
Because I saw him and then Colin Jost the next night from SNL. And both different ends of the spectrum of views and whatnot. But both are really funny.
Yeah.
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 Is there a comedian that you want to work with? Like, that's your, like...
Your dream.
Like, to what comedian to work with, yeah.
It's a good question. I wouldn't mind working with like Bill Burr. I got to work with Henry Phillips.
Henry Phillips, I don't know him.
If for any entertainer out there, for anybody that wants to be a comic or a musician, I recommend watching the movie Punching the Clown.
Okay.
Punching the Clown, okay.
They also made a sequel, Punching Henry. Which had J.K. Rowling,
something like that,
the actor. Mm-hmm. He was a trained musician, musical guitarist, that quickly developed a very funny joke styling and singing songs.
Huh.
Probably one of my favorite guitar comics. Normally, I'm not a fan, but. Huge fan of Henry Phillips.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
He has a song called Guitar Pill. That's on YouTube, and it's, don't you wish there was a pill that you could take, and you had to spend 20 years working on your craft, and you could play this, and you could play that. But
yeah.
Too bad there's not. But he goes in this whole, like, guitar, of all the things that he said. Like,
wow.
Oh, wow.
Don't you wish there was a pill?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's one. Anyone else?
I don't know. I've been very fortunate enough to work with some really great comics that either A, you don't know, or you do know,
mm-hmm.
and I look forward to the next person I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard when I transition to headlining, you don't get to work with as many people as you used to when you were featuring or mm-hmm. hosting or mm-hmm. whatnot. But I look forward to anybody I work with next.
Oh, that's cool.
Awesome.
That's a good way to be.
Except for Pauly Shore.
Except for Pauly Shore.
He's out.
Jeez.
I don't know. Maybe.
You may have changed.
Maybe we can clear things up and become friends from here on out.
Now, have you ever worked with Jay Moore? I hear he's a little different.
I have not, but I like his acting. I like his... some of his comedy I do like. What's his name? I'm blanking. Tonight, Goat Boy.
Chris Kattan or Brewer? Yeah, Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer. I wouldn't mind working with him. I find him very hilarious. Yeah. His drinking bit about different liquors coming in, like it's like a nightclub.
Okay.
And not this time, tequila. Oh, come on, man.
I haven't heard that one.
That's funny.
His story he told on This Is Not Happening, though, about working, I think, in the paint department and calling in like a terrorist threat to the mall. And just like having, I think, like the FBI showed up and everything. And This Is Not Happening. Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Look for Jim Brewer. It's pretty funny.
Dave Landau also has a This Is Not Happening.
Oh, does nice. He?
Oh, okay.
About how,
I wonder if we've seen it.
About how he was an alcoholic back in the day, and he got put into a mental hospital,
mm-hmm.
and next to a guy who thought he was a wolf.
We got. I feel like I have heard it, but I want to hear it again. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I work at a psych hospital, so I work at Intermountain Hospital in Boise. So yes, I've heard.
You're gonna get a kick out of that one.
Okay, I'll have to go listen to it.
When I think about it, I'll send it to you guys.
Okay, cool. Sweet. Well,
again, that's March 19th to the 22nd. Me and Dave Landau.
Where's that?
Liquid.
Oh, there. Nice.
19th to the 22nd.
Yeah,
we should go out and see that. We want to check out more local comedy.
Like,
and
I'll remind everybody. Travel.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah, we travel for some shows, but I haven't really seen a lot in Boise. And we saw Rogan when he was here, and Tom Segura and stuff. But yeah, like those shows at the clubs, open mics, and Liquid and stuff. That's gonna be. Those are going to be some cool shows. What was the name of, before Fatty's was Fatty's, it was a comedy club. Do you remember the name of that place?
Was it High Drinks?
It might have been.
I think that was right after the Funny Bone.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that was the comedy club for a little bit.
Pat Mack and Brian Lee, the manager of the Funny Bone, went over there and did that. And it was kind of a hybrid of bands and comedy.
Yeah, I remember. I went to two or three comedy shows there and then it turned into Fatty's, and then I don't know if there was any comedy scene at that time.
Oh, June 28th. Very sorry, June 28th.
June 28th.
There's another
Sunday
one.
Night. It's a Sunday night. It's also at Liquid.
Nice.
It's my birthday.
Oh,
and I'm doing sweet. A birthday comedy extravaganza bash.
Oh, perfect.
I'm going to have not a traditional host, Dwayne Pierza, the bartender there at Liquid, who's also kind of like a Instagram guru, if you will, like one of those guys that posts inspirational stuff and then like crazy cool photo shoots. He's going to be hosting the show because I kind of want the comics just to work on their material, not worried about, you know, getting things organized.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's cool. So, yeah,
there's going to be a 10 or 11 comics that I want on the bill for that, and there's going to be like 20 comics very upset that I didn't pick.
Nice. Yeah, we should go out to that. That would be awesome. It sounds like fun. Be open to the public?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is
it's not like your private birthday party.
It's going to be a comedy show and then drinks, then whatever happens after that.
Nice.
Maybe even karaoke. Who knows? Hey,
Wendy will sing a song or two. All right. I think that's all I have written down.
Anything else you wanted to plug or say?
You can, you know, just find me, Comic
Nate. Oh, yeah. Where do we find him?
Oh, yeah.
Comic Nate Ford on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Comic Nate Ford. Yeah. Look him up. Follow him. Friend him.
Where to go and when.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
nice.
I do promote a lot.
Perfect.
I'm a promoter. So you need to.
Good.
Yeah.
You need to get your name out.
We're just getting into that stuff.
It feels weird at first.
It does. But like that's how, if you want to get booked at comedy clubs, you gotta.
Oh yeah.
Whatever, you gotta. Put butts in the seats. That's what they want.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so why not start now and just build up a
push,
fan base?
Push.
For example, Doug Stano, he's not everybody's cup of tea, but as he was working the road for 20 years, he had a fan here and there, five over here, six over here. And now, because of all that, now he has multiple fans that he could sell out a rock venue here or in Scotland or somewhere.
Yeah.
But he worked his way up by just grabbing those people that
here and there.
Geared towards you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what some comics are missing in their head right now. They're more involved in a scene rather than focus on what's
finding
out here.
Your people. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's been great having you on.
Awesome
been,
meeting you. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. Seriously.
It's been really fun. We've got to ask some comic questions that we probably kind of said to each other, you know.
I wonder.
Like in the evenings when we're just chatting, you know. So we've got some of those questions answered. That's awesome.
It's been awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here tonight. I'm going to sign out.
I'm signing off.
I'm Chris Adams.
I'm Wendy Mosier. Hashtag get toasted. Stay toasted. Thank you, Nate.
Yes, thank you.